Fantasy World, this is Todd with Fantasy 101 with Todd. I'm here today to break down the AFC North Division for you guys. We're going to go over the fantasy relevant players off of each team in the AFC North Division. We're going to get right to it with the Cleveland Browns, a team that's going to be on HBO Hard Knocks as of next week. It's August 3rd today. It's early in camp. Hard Knocks hasn't even started yet, but the new characters, new players that the Browns have added, I think they are a playoff contender, and I think they have quite a bit of fantasy value. So we'll start the North off with the Cleveland Browns. The group I want to start off with has a guy that is the biggest question mark on this team in general and in fantasy, and that's Josh Gordon. The kid has got a ton of talent. He looks like a bigger version of what, you know, Randy Moss type size. Great speed. I'm not saying he's Randy Moss, but I'm saying he's got that type of talent that can change a game. A lot of guys are keeping him. A lot of my keeper leagues that I care about, my big money leagues I've been in for 20 years. There's teams in each of those leagues that kept Josh Gordon as a keeper. It's a risk. It's a home run risk. That's one of those where it could go, he's not going to touch the field, or he's going to play, you know, 10 games and light up the world. You know, and who knows, maybe even he'll play a whole 16 games and light up the world. If that kid played 16 games healthy, his numbers would be wide receiver one. I think he'd be right up there with the top receivers in the league. But that is easier said than done. The guy hasn't been on the field in years. Major issues with drugs. So he's a risk. But if he plays, he's out of camp right now, citing some kind of health, mental, for his own mental health, something like that. It's a risk with Josh Gordon. Take that at your, you know, at your own risk. Of course, I wouldn't do it. I'm not a fan of taking that big of a risk, but he's one of those exceptional talents that I can see why you would. The next guy I want to talk about in that group is Jarvis Landry. I still think he's going to be a target monster. He's going in the mid-fifth round in standard. I think he has a lot more value in PPR. If you're going into a PPR draft with your league, or, you know, your rules are set to PPR, he's going to get a ton of receptions. He's led the league in targets the last few years. He's a short yardage guy. I know that they've got Duke Johnson there, but I think he's going to do more damage to Duke than Duke is to Jarvis. He'll get the occasional red zone look. He's a good wide receiver, too, on the back end to me. I think mid-fifth round might be a tad high, but if he's there in the mid-fifth, I'll definitely think about it. In the few drafts I've done already, I tried to wait until the sixth on Jarvis, and I did not get him in each of those. He was usually gone by the mid-sixth round or so. So he's going about mid-fifth round, and I'm assuming that's about his value right now. And I do think Landry's going to do better than a lot of people are saying. Right now, a lot of people are down on him. But the word out of camp is that he's really connecting with Tyrod Taylor pretty well. And I think Landry will be fine, especially in PPR. He is a value. Other than that, the wide receiver group doesn't offer much other than Corey Coleman, back end of the draft guy. If something happens to Landry and if Gordon does not come back, Coleman has a more value, take him in the 10th or 11th, maybe that high, because he'd be that next guy up if something happens with those two guys. Gordon is going to really hold how this goes for the Browns in that receiving core. If he doesn't come back, you're looking at really just Landry and Coleman are the fantasy relevant players in that squad. At tight end, there's not much there. David Njoku, you know, he's a young guy people have been high on since he got drafted last year in the first round. I think this will be the year he does a little bit better. I don't know if he's – I'm not as high on him as a lot of other people, but Njoku's got a lot of talent, and he's a big guy with hands. Back end of the draft, and Njoku's a good tight end to take, and I'm one of those guys that waits on tight ends a lot. I've personally never drafted him, you know, it just hasn't worked out that way, but I do love his talent. If you get into those late rounds without a tight end, or you want a backup tight end, he's not a bad pick. The running backs for the Cleveland Browns are, it's a little bit of a question mark right now. You got Carlos Hyde right now going into, you know, it's August 3rd right now. We're early in the preseason, but Hyde is the RB1 for this team right now, but he's battled injuries in the past. He had a good season last year, but overall in his career, he's battled some injuries. Other than that, I think it's going to be Carlos Hyde is the most relevant. Nick Chubb is the rookie they took in this past draft in the second round. He's got good size. He can do pretty much anything that Carlos Hyde could do. I don't know if he's got the speed that Hyde has. But Chubb eventually will be the guy in Cleveland. And I never want to wish injury on anybody, but if something happens to Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb is a, I wouldn't say a great handcuff, because I think he would split with Duke a little bit. But I do think Chubb is that early down. I think he's going to steal some work from Carlos Hyde. I think Hyde's going a little high right now. He's going about fifth round. I'd probably think Hyde's more of a 6th, 7th round guy, because I don't think Cleveland's going to use him right. But that's really just, you know, it's up in the air a little bit. If you end up taking Carlos Hyde in the 5th round, I wouldn't blame you. He's a starting running back there. I think he's going to beat out Chubb at the beginning. And honestly, I hate to say it, but watch Hard Knocks and see if you can kind of get a little glimpse into how things are going into camp. And I'll definitely have my eye, and I suggest you have your eye, on the rookie out of Georgia, Nick Chubb. Duke Johnson is a guy that's a PPR guy, is what I call him. Very valuable in PPR. I don't see him doing much in standard. He does seem to get drafted at the back end of drafts in standard. He's a 10th round, 9th round even guy maybe in PPR, because he's going to do the passing down work for the Browns. The problem is he does not run the ball. He's not a very good runner. In the lanes, it's a strange thing with Duke, but he just doesn't run the ball very well. So it'd be strictly receiving yards and catches in PPR that makes him relevant. And I don't even know how much of those he's going to get this year with Jarvis Landry in town. Landry's going to get a lot of the short work when Tyrod gets in trouble. That would normally go to Duke. It's probably going to go to Jarvis. So that's something to keep an eye on. If you're in PPR, Duke is definitely a guy to take in the back end of the mid rounds. We're going to move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, they're a fun team every year in fantasy. They've got, in my opinion, the top running back in the NFL in Le'Veon Bell. And I'm just going to, real quick, I know there's not much to expand on with Le'Veon. Everybody knows he's great. But remember this. He is in a contract year, because this is the last year they could franchise him. He is going to ball out. He wants a gigantic contract. This is what happens to these top running backs. They got to have that big breakout year right around the end of their rookie contract so they can sign that big giant contract. And I think that Le'Veon's in that category of running backs that do that, like Adrian Peterson did. That, you know, once the end of that rookie contract came, maybe a few, you know, Le'Veon's in Pittsburgh, this is why he's leaving Pittsburgh, they should have already contracted the guy, but they didn't. They decided to go down the road of franchising him for a few years. And now they're going to work him, and he's going to want it to make a, prove a point to make money. It is the perfect storm for Le'Veon Bell to absolutely blow up. And he had a great year last year. I expect it to be the same, maybe even better this year. The only other back to talk about here, in my opinion, is James Conner. He's draftable in the back end of a draft, almost a must draft in the back end of a draft, because if Le'Veon goes down, he'll be the man. Is he going to put up Le'Veon numbers? No, but he would definitely be a very strong back end RB1 to RB2 area if he comes in, and he's a good running back. He's just not, who's Le'Veon? Very few have that talent anyways. And James Conner is a very talented handcuff. excuse me. The next group that is really entertaining to watch There's not a ton of guys in the group to talk about, but there's the top two are definitely worth worth the conversation. Antonio Brown is, I have watched football religiously for 33 years, maybe. He's in that group of maybe five or six receivers that just has a unique style, Hall of Fame caliber if he stays healthy throughout his career, and he might already be there. The best five-year stretch of any receiver, I'd have to look that up. I watched something the other day on Brown and his five-year stretch, and I read something on it. I'd have to compare it to Jerry Rice's, maybe his best 5 years, but I heard it was one of the best five-year stretches in the history of the game, and that speaks for itself. Anybody that's been watching football the last few years, last 5 years or so, knows Antonio Brown is the real deal and wide receiver one, the number one receiver in the NFL, in my opinion. The other receiver I wanted to talk about in this group fantasy-wise is Juju Smith-Schuster. He is a second-year guy out of USC. Just the kid is fun to watch, meshes well with this offense. I think he's going to get some work because Brown's going to be getting all the attention and double-teamed. Even so, Brown's going to get his, but also, there's more than one receiver in football. The other side of the field's eventually going to have to get some work. They get creative with Juju. They have before. He was a little inconsistent last year, but he was a rookie. So I think this year he's got a little bit more of a hold of the offense. I think that there's nothing wrong with having as many weapons as possible for Ben Roethlisberger. So I think Smith-Schuster will step up this year and have a pretty good year. He's going in the mid-fifth round, and I think that's about right for him. I think him and Brown are both in the right spots ADP-wise, where exactly where they should be. Really no tight ends of relevance. I'd probably, you got your Jesse James, occasional big game. He's a waiver wire guy. And so, in my opinion, so is Vance McDonald. Some people are drafting McDonald at the back end of drafts. But I think Vance McDonald, just leave him on the waiver wire if you need a tight end of injury-wise or something at the beginning of the year or into the year. Try to pick up McDonald or Jesse James. They tend to use him more, see how the season goes. You can take those guys off the waiver wire. All right, well, that's the end of Pittsburgh. They're always fun to go over. The next team in the AFC North that we want to talk about is the Cincinnati Bengals, and they have a lot of front office decision-making issues that they've been dealing with for 20 years. It just never fails. This is one of those teams that they've had some good runs, and they've had this steady coaching staff for years. They've had a couple teams that were super talented, and just nothing seems to go right for this franchise. But one thing did go right recently for this franchise. They had a good draft last year. The Bengals loaded up on the line. They went and got Cordy Glenn, a tackle from Buffalo, a steady veteran presence on the line. Then they drafted the best, by almost all accounts, the best offensive lineman in college football last year in Billy Price to anchor their center position. And then they've got Jake Fisher at right tackle, dealing with a shoulder issue right now in camp as of August 3rd. But I heard from what reports are coming out that it's nothing, that he might miss some camp time. He should be back by the beginning of the year. They are a team I think is going to improve, because if that line improves, everybody behind it's going to improve. And that's going to lead me to my next guy on Cincinnati, and that's Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is set up with this line I was just talking about that Cincinnati rebuilt in this offseason. Joe Mixon is ready to blow up. To what level, I don't know if he's going to jump into high-end RB1 or anything like that, maybe not in his second year. But I do think they're going to mesh better this year, and with a line like that, he's going to get some better lanes to run in. And I also think it's going to help Dalton have some more time to hit him on that second level with some dump-off passes. You get Joe Mixon in the open field where he can shift and use his speed and his vision I think he's got potential as a huge breakout this year. I'm taking him. I kept him in a few leagues. I drafted him too early. I'll admit it. I drafted him too early in some leagues I really care about last year. And I took some heat for it. Justified heat. But this year it's paying off. And at the time, I'm not trying to, you know, toot my own horn here, but I really felt, honestly, and last year I thought at the end of the year he would blow up. He didn't. I feel like he's due. He's got an offseason worth of work with this offense. He's been running as a number one. I just think it's going to be Mixon's year. I think the kid is ready to blow. He just looks like an NFL running back, and he's got all the tools. I'm huge on Mixon in the third round. You back in the second, third round, take him. Just, you know, I mean, just take him. Don't even hesitate. Now, on that same group, the only other guy to mention is his handcuff. One of the top, I believe, handcuffs in the game. Our lad's depth chart still has him as the lead running back, but that's laughable. It's definitely Joe Mixon right now. Bernard's going to get some third down work, some passing down work, passing situations long, second and long or whatever. You know, you're going to see some Bernard in there. He's going to vulture maybe a touchdown or two and some work from Mixon, but definitely Mixon's the one. Bernard is basically a handcuff that you want to stash on your bench. He is draftable. Giovanni Bernard, draft him in those double-digit rounds. Definitely, if you have Joe Mixon, find a way to fit Bernard in as your handcuff, because if Mixon goes down, he'll slide right in. There's nobody else in that roster but Bernard behind Mixon, as far as running backs go. The receiver group for the Bengals, just get AJ Green out of the way. We know he's one of the top, you know, five receivers in the NFL. Just a tall, great hands. Just a pleasure to watch every week, even with a mediocre quarterback like Andy Dalton. But like I said earlier, it all comes back to that line. I think Dalton's going to have a sneaky good year because I think that line's going to give him time. We'll see. We're going to do these podcasts weekly. We'll see how the flow goes going into the year and how the beginning of the year starts for the Bengals. But if it starts well, I think if Dalton gets a little confidence and the line meshes, Mixon's opening things up, you know, eating up some yards, I think Dalton will work well within an offense that runs like that. How fantasy relevant that is, I don't know. I don't see much fantasy relevance unless you're playing in a double, you know, super flex or the quarterback, you know, two quarterback league. If you're playing where you can start two quarterbacks, then Dalton will come into the conversation as a QB2, you know, and maybe be a back end guy there for you. But the other receiver, the only other receiver, because Tyler Boyd just is not fantasy relevant. The only other receiver on the Bengals I want to talk about besides AJ Green would be John Ross. And Ross is a little underrated, in my opinion, just because he got hurt early last year. And he just basically had a wasted year last year. But he's kind of got this reputation. No, not kind of. He does have this reputation as a speed guy. And he's not just a speed guy. This guy's got hands. Go look at it, YouTube, wherever you got to go, and look at tape of John Ross. He's going to be a good wide receiver, too, for the Bengals. The guy's got hands. He's got good speed. He can stretch the field. Now, I think he's going to light up the world, as I don't think Dalton is going to light up the world either. I think Dalton, at best, is a steady quarterback. But I do think John Ross, if something happens to AJ, Ross is going to slide right in there, and Ross can be, for this team, maybe not fantasy-wise, but for this team, be a wide receiver one and slide into some definite fantasy relevance. He's got a little bit, even with AJ there, fantasy relevance. Maybe take him as a flyer at the end of a draft. Some people may be higher on him, but I wouldn't take him till late. I'd let somebody else worry about that. But if you do take him as an AJ Green. You know, there's not a real thing with wide receivers and handcuffs. It kind of doesn't work that way. Seems, you know, handcuffs tend to be for running backs. But John Ross, definitely a depth guy at receiver. And I wouldn't blame you if you took him at the back end of a draft. The last team that I want to talk about in the AFC North is the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I'm, you know how there's certain teams where you just, I don't, maybe not you, but me, there's certain teams that I just rarely use anybody on these certain teams, like the Bills, the Ravens, there's a few teams last few years outside of McCoy on the Bills, I get it. But I just don't draft very many players from those teams, and Baltimore tends to be one of those teams. But this year, they've got some players that are pretty interesting. I am a little bit higher on Crabtree than most. He's been getting a lot of downplay because he had a bad year in Oakland last year. And John Brown, he had a few good years with the Cardinals, and it's been nothing but roses coming out of camp about John Brown. So that's causing Crabtree to get a little bit, drop a little bit in his ADP. John Brown is going around the 10th round. And I think the reverse of how that's going. I think Crabtree's going to have a better year than what most people are saying. And John Brown's going to be John Brown. He's inconsistent. He's going to, you know, you want to take him at the end of a draft, back in a draft, depth guy that if something happens to Crabtree, or maybe something happens to Flacco, and a guy I'm going to get to in a second that I love, Lamar Jackson, comes in and opens that offense wide open. I think Crabtree and Brown's stock will go way up. And especially Crabtree. I don't understand why people lose track that Crabtree's been good everywhere he's gone. I know he's an off-the-field guy sometimes, but I've watched him at Texas Tech and his entire career in the NFL. I've had him on many fantasy teams. He's a good receiver. And you put him there with Joe Flacco, who's a little desperate, and it feels that pressure from Lamar Jackson. I have a feeling Flacco's going to step up his game. If he does that, Crabtree and Brown are going to have decent seasons. And Brown, mid rounds, double digit rounds, not a bad guy to throw in. Crabtree about mid fifth round, beginning of sixth round. I think that's about right. The third receiver, and really the only other receiver, because I'm anti Breshad Perriman, don't even draft that guy. Like, he's hurt all the time. The only other receiver to mention in that group is Willie Snead. A few good years in New Orleans with Breeze. He's a slot guy, back end of a draft. I'm going to throw him in for depth. I wouldn't blame you, but I'm not seeing the world with Snead as far as starting. He's not even a flex guy, just a bench guy. He does have talent. So if he happens to connect, in a, you know, sometimes a receiver and a quarterback just connect. And if he gets some kind of, a relationship going with Flacco, we're on the field, he just tends to be that slot guy that's open in the progressions, Snead could build up some kind of fantasy values, maybe sliding in as a flex. But barring a Crabtree and Brown injury, I don't see much work, enough work to be fantasy relevant other than a deep depth play for Willie Snead. The tight ends for the Ravens are interesting. Boyle and Williams, they kind of cancel each other out. You could take Boyle as a depth tight end. I'm not real big on having two tight ends on the roster. I'm real big on having a starting tight end and then waiver wiring the tight end on your bye week. But it depends on the tight end. Sometimes if you're not strong there, it doesn't hurt to have a second one. Boyle and Max Williams are not your guys. They're not the guys that you're going to want for depth. Now, I will talk about, I know it's strange, the third tight end on the roster as of now that I think is going to climb. He's a dynasty play to me. Second or third round in a dynasty draft. Probably second round. I'll probably take him in the second round. Hayden Hurst, the rookie tight end. They just drafted in this past draft. Ton of talent. He's got speed in hands. I think he'll connect with either Flacco or Jackson down the road. Flacco is the immediate quarterback. So I don't know immediately with Max Williams and Boyle in front of him how quick Hurst is going to get on the field. So I keep thinking of Hurst and Jackson terms. I think eventually Lamar Jackson's going to have reins of this team. And when he does, his tight end is going to be Hayden Hurst. And when Hayden Hurst is in, and you know, when Hurst is in that role as the tight end outlet for Lamar Jackson that loves to scramble, loves to get outside the pocket, make things happen, that's when tight ends like Hurst have decent speed and size and hands. They got that, you know, the weird long Jeremy Shockey hair. He's got that look, and I'm telling you, in a year or two, maybe this year if things go right for the kid, Hayden Hurst, rookie tight end, is definitely a guy you want to put a star by. If you are in a dynasty league, you need to look to the future. This is a tight end of the future in the NFL that is a pass-catching tight end. Put a star by him. Watch him in the preseason. Watch him during the season. Keep up with him. Hayden Hurst, tight end for the Ravens. The running backs for the Ravens are interesting. Alex Collins, fourth round, back into the third in some drafts. Just ton of production as far as he's going to get the workload. Alex Collins is going to get the bulk of the work at running back. And he's really the only relevant player in the backfield fantasy-wise, because if he goes down, it's going to be a split between Kenneth Dixon and Javorius Allen. I wouldn't even draft Dixon or Allen. I think they're waiver wire guys. Collins is right where he needs to be in the fourth round, early fourth round. And that's about it. I guess Dixon, if he can get healthy, I think he's dealing with another injury this offseason, which has been his problem. If Collins goes down, I think Dixon might be the best bet for anything fantasy-wise out of that backfield. But I think Javorius Allen will take some work from him. Before I get out of the Ravens, I can't talk about this team without talking just another minute or two on Lamar Jackson. It's August 3rd as we're recording this, and I watched the Hall of Fame game last night, and he did not light up the world. But I have this weird thing where sometimes I just see a player and you know it. And I just had that, the way he looked and moved on that field. I think in dynasty drafts, even in the, whenever you possibly can in the back end rounds of regular drafts that are not dynasty drafts, any of the PPR, standard drafts, you can take him somewhere in the back end when you're just going for pure depth and you think you've got a roster spot where you can stash a backup quarterback. I think eventually Lamar Jackson is going to get that starting role. And I'd never want to wish injury on anybody, but if injury happens to Flacco or he goes through a major drought and they start Lamar, what I'm trying to get at is when Lamar Jackson gets that opportunity to start, he is not going to let it go. So keep an eye on Lamar Jackson. Try to get Lamar Jackson in the back end of your draft if you can. If you've got a really deep team, definitely in Dynasty. If you have a Dynasty draft coming up, I do not care who, well, I can't say I don't care who your quarterback is. Even if you have a great quarterback, I'd take him in the second round. I don't know if he'll fall that far. He's probably going to go pretty quick in that first round. But Lamar Jackson, keep an eye on him in Dynasty Leagues. If you can, I would take him. I think the sky's the limit for that kid. I think he's going to light the NFL up in a year or two. And maybe even this year. I honestly think halfway through the year or so, I just have a gut feeling, whether it's a drought or a losing streak, or, you know, Flacco not meshing or an injury, who knows? But I just have this feeling this year Lamar Jackson's going to step up and be that rookie that comes out of nowhere. So he's definitely somebody to put a star by and watch how his star rises in the next year or two. And I know this is a strange one. I'm going to throw this in at the end on the Ravens. You might, if you're going to draft a kicker early, which I never suggest, and I never suggest it, but I have done it. And this is the one guy that I'll take in that 9th or 10th round and shock everybody. And that's Justin Tucker. This guy won me fantasy games last year. When he has a good game, he will put up 20-something points from, you know, around, at least in the area of 20 points. A couple weeks last year, he scores just steady every week. So if you're going to draft a kicker early, say you're loaded and you're just, you know, and I know everybody's all over Zuerlein, and he right now is the best scoring kicker. But I've always had a soft spot for Tucker. That guy has won me many of fantasy games. And I'm not telling you 9th or 10th round, but earlier than everybody else, when you beat everybody to the punch before they do, you know, their kickers and their defenses, it doesn't hurt to have one of the best scoring kickers in NFL history. And that's where Tucker will end up. And year to year, you can see this guy scoring. He scores like, just look it up. Justin Tucker is steady. So if you're going to take a kicker, You want to be that guy that adds some points outside of the main guys, your receivers and your running backs, and pay attention to those tight ends and kickers and defenses. Tucker needs to be a little star by his name, one of the guys that you look for in that situation. All right, guys, well, that wraps up the AFC North. We're going to work on the AFC West for our next podcast. And then after that, we're just going to take it week by week. We're going to go over some topics as far as sleepers and bargains and busts and some camp highlights. And eventually, I want to get to just some, around the NFL news for you guys so that we can go over what's fantasy relevant as far as guys dealing with issues and, injuries, stuff like that. If you have any questions, you can get in touch with me at toddsfantasypicks@gmail.com. And until next time, guys, this is Todd in Houston.